of my Jesus, a life that he gave. And so many times will I praise you today. I lift up my life, 'cause you're always the same. Songs can I sing to proclaim your wondrous love, oh, and beauty so great, oh, and what would I say? Would still say, your name is Jesus. Your name is Jesus. You're the wonderful counselor, my friend. You're what I hold.
Matthew chapter 12, verse number 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Father, we've read your word. God, it's filled us, it's blessed us. Lord, we are very sensitive and aware that you're doing a work today. And I pray, God, we'd be not in the way. Lord, I pray that you might bless your people today. Help them, God. Speak to their hearts. God, I pray you'd bind the devil. by the flesh, defeated today, God. And I pray that Jesus might get glory, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. When I go back to the book of Matthew chapter 12, I want us to see, first of all, this morning, four quick points. Number one, I want you to see the intention of Jesus. In verse number 9, the Bible says he went into their synagogue. What was his intent? He's going there for teaching. He has entered into the house of God for a time of preaching, teaching, a time of prayer. And that's his intention, is to worship the Father, to study the Word of God, to have fellowship with the saints. His intent is teaching. But while he's there, his intent is reaching. The Bible said, "Behold, there is a man which had his hand withered." We remember the story. Jesus had been walking with his disciples to the field, and his disciples on the Sabbath day plucked ears of grain, ears of corn, and they began to roll that grain up in their hands, and they began to eat it. And the Pharisees made sport of them and began to mock at them. You remember the story. And Jesus said, "They've done nothing wrong." He did not rebuke them. Because we understand that human need overrides the law. Grace overrides the law. And Jesus has went into the house of God with the intent of teaching the Word of God. And I do not know what he read. And I do not know what was said there, other than the fact that his intent was to reach this one that was lost. I want to see, second of all, not just the intention of Jesus, but the inquisition of the Pharisees. The Bible says they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" That they might accuse him. They want to accuse him of wrongdoing. They've already attacked him for walking with his disciples through the cornfields there. You realize the Mishnah had all kind of laws about the Sabbath, laws that they added to the Word of God. For him to tell you what, the day, the Sabbath, had become a day of anxiety for most people. The Torah, which is the Word of God, gives us His law, but the Mishnah was where the Pharisees added the law. Did you realize the Pharisees added 39 places where you could break God's Sabbath? In fact, all 39 of them have 39 subpoints. There are 1,521 ways you could break the Sabbath, such as if you got up and looked in the mirror. It was forbidden because you might see a gray hair and be tempted to pluck it out. That would be considered reaping. You were not allowed to take a bath on the Sabbath day, for if you did, and when you got out of the tub and water dripped on the floor, you might be tempted to dry it up, which was a form of work. On the Sabbath, you could not wear a coat. You might be too warm and take it off, and you might carry it, which is carrying a load. You understand the dryness and the formality and the ceremonialism that the Pharisees added to God's Word? And now they're trying to trip Jesus up that they might accuse him. Listening to their accusation, they have no concern for a man in their congregation with a withered hand. Their concern is trying to accuse God's man. Their concern is trying to trip Jesus up. We see the inquisition of the Pharisees. Thirdly, hear the instruction of Jesus. He gave them an answer. The Bible says that he said to them, "What man shall there be among you that if he have one sheep and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much better is a man than a sheep?" He says to the Pharisees, if your sheep fell into a pit on the Sabbath, would you lift it out? You would. Then do you accuse me for doing wrong for lifting out my sheep? You lift your sheep, I'll lift my sheep. My sheep is this man with the withered hand. My sheep are those that follow me and hear my voice. Amen? He said, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. For this statement, the Pharisees had no answer. Jesus gave them an answer. And I also see his anguish. The Bible says that he was grieved for the hardness of their hearts. The fact that they could not see this man that had a need within their very own congregation, it concerned them not. Fourthly, and I'll be done, I want you to see the invitation of Jesus. He said to this man, he told him to rise up and stand forth. He said, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And then this is what he did. He gave an invitation to this man. He said, stretch forth thine hand. His invitation was to the peerless. His invitation was to a man that had no friends in that congregation. He was a stranger there. They had no compassion, no pity, no love on him whatsoever. But Jesus, motivated by love, looked at that man and said to the peerless, "Stretch forth thine hand." And we did. When he did, his hand was made completely whole. I read in your hearing in Luke chapter 6 that it was this man's right hand that was withered. We know that the left side of our body represents the flesh. The right side of our body represents the spiritual side, the nature of God. This man had a hand, the right hand, the spiritual side, that had grown withered. Listen what the psalmist said in Psalm 142, verse number 4. "I looked on my right hand and beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul." This man had no peers, no friends, no one who cared for him in that synagogue except Jesus. His invitation was to the friendless, to the peerless. Next of all, his invitation was to the pitiless. Do you see where the Pharisees and religious leaders went to that man and said, "Oh, what happened to you? Boy, we'll be praying for you. We're concerned about you." No! They cared not for his soul. They had no pity, no mercy, no concern whatsoever. But listen what Jesus did. Moved with compassion, Jesus said to that man with the withered right hand, "Stretch forth thine hand." Praise God for that. What about to the powerless? We know that according to the book of Mark chapter 3, this man had a withered hand. We read it in Matthew 12 and in Luke 6. But in Mark 3, it's a different word for withered than it is in Matthew or Luke. It is a word which means that his hand was not always withered. That at one time in his life, his hand was whole. He was able to work with his left or work with his right. That he had a flesh side, but he also had a spiritual side. There was a time in his life that he had power to work for God. But now this man has a withered hand. Jesus gave an invitation to the peerless, to the pitiless, and to the powerless. This man used to be useful for God. And now something has happened in his life, and no longer can he work for the Lord. I feel like I'm talking to somebody here. You used to be spiritual, sir. But something happened in your life. There's a hurt that happened. The only way your hand can be withered, there's a loss of blood supply, and there's a separation between the hand and the head. Jesus is the head of the church. You may say, "Preacher Darren, there could be an injury to the spinal cord." That is true, but in relation, that would go to the head. There is a cut. There is a laceration. Some severe injury has happened. There's been a fall in his life. I'm talking to somebody here. You used to have power with God. You were useful. When they said, "Let's work at church," you were right here. When they said, "Let's get together for prayer meeting and pray," you were right here. You had power to serve God, and you offered every bit of your talent, your ability to serve Him. But in a good church, sitting amongst wonderful people, here you are today, and you're hoping that nobody will notice that your hand is withered. But I have news for you. There's two people in the congregation in that synagogue that noticed it, and it wasn't the Pharisees, and it wasn't the religious rulers. The first person that knew his hand was withered and then it lost his power was that man. You know this morning that your relationship with him is not what it once was. And in the dark caverns of your soul, you may sit here in your facial expression and say, "Well, I don't care. I don't give a rip. I'm tired of church. I'll give up on it." But the dark caverns of your soul, God has given you a longing to be useful once more. Just imagine this morning if you lost use of your hand. What would you do if you could find a physician that would make it whole again and make it useful again like it once was? You'd stop at no end. You'd pay whatever it cost. You'd do whatever it took to have it restored. Don't you tell me for one second
that within the deep caverns of your soul that you don't want to say, Jesus, I want to be used for you again. I want my life to count for your glory. I remember what it used to feel like when the choir would sing and the Holy Ghost would breeze through my soul. I want that again. I remember what it was like to sit on every word that the man of God was saying. I was on the edge of my seat. I desired to hear the word of God. I'm talking to somebody today. You used to have power with God. Jesus says to the powerless, stretch forth thine hand. You realize he's lost his right hand. He can't shake hands anymore of fellowship. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. This man can't fellowship with God. He can't fellowship with the church anymore. I'm talking about somebody this morning. You fell out of fellowship with the men of God. You fell out of fellowship with the choir. You fell out of fellowship in your Sunday school class. You have fell out of fellowship one with another. And there's something that happened back there that God wants to deal with today. Not only have you got a loss of fellowship, but I thought about the sacrifice of praise. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You used to be able to lift up your hands without shame and say praise to God. But something's happened to you. You had a fall, a hurt. Now all you can do, you can lift up the flesh side. That's about the best you can do. But to lift up that spiritual side. You can't even say amen to the preaching anymore. You used to fight to sit on the front seat. You used to get there early for the prayer room. Man, when the preacher said, we're going to have a working, you'd say, what time? Because I don't want to miss it. But something happened in your life, and no longer can you lift up holy hands. You can't participate in sincere giving. The Bible says in Matthew 6:3, when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. You know how you give? Your right hand. But he's got a withered hand. I don't believe in what the church is doing anymore. I'm not going to give to it. I'm not going to contribute. I'm not going to, and they'll not blame me when things go wrong because I'm not giving a dime. You've got a withered hand. And Jesus sees it today. And he knows it today. What about participating in service to the Lord? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands. Your service to the Lord is hindered. What about carrying the sword? The Bible says in Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You used to carry the Word of God in your right hand. But something happened. You're not carrying it anymore. You know why? You got a withered hand. You know how I know you don't carry it? You leave it at church. You got your place reserved because your Bible always lays there. You leave yours laying on the dashboard of your car. I've seen it at Walmart. I take it with me everywhere I go, but you don't take it in your house. Evidently, you ain't reading it. You don't take it into Walmart. You just leave it laying there. God's looking for somebody this day that's got a withered hand, and he sees you. He makes an invitation to the peerless, to the pitiless, to the powerless, to the painless. What do you mean, preacher? I want to say this to you this morning. I had surgery on my neck, and that doctor got in there working. He cut a nerve, paralyzed my arm, my right arm. I couldn't move it. I knew the minute he did it, I felt it go limp. The doctor, when I went to see another doctor, put all kinds of pins and needles in it to try to get some electrode response. I couldn't even feel the pins going in my arm. You see, I was painless. There was excruciating pain when this first happened to me. When I first got hurt, it hurt really bad. But then I went numb. Just because you're numb don't mean your problem's fixed. Amen. Get a hold of that truth this morning. You're sitting here and you're numb and you're comfortably numb. Well, if I don't feel the Holy Spirit, I'm okay. I'll be all right. I'm talking about there's somebody today. Man, I'm telling you, you have a longing and a desire, and it's in the deep cavities of your heart, and the Lord sees you and says, I can restore that if you'd let me. And I know it's become numb. I know you've become powerless. I know you've become useless. I know you're profitless. But I'm interested in turning this thing around. His invitation that he made to the peerless, to the pitiless, to the powerless, to the painless, this invitation is priceless. He says to the man, rise up and stand forth. And the man with the issue did. How come that man knew who he was talking to? He stood up and he said, stretch forth thine hand. He didn't stretch forth his left. He didn't stretch forth the one that could do some work. He stretched forth the one that was hurt. The right hand, he reached it out. And the Bible said, it was made whole immediately from that very hour. Preacher, you can't explain that one away. You're exactly right. You see, because the best I can study, if you have a withered hand, there's a hindered blood supply and a hindrance to your nervous system. It's paralyzing. It's crippling. Handicapped. You know what Jesus did? The life of the flesh is in the blood. He put a new blood supply. He reattached it to the head. When he did this work, this man was restored. This man was renewed. This man was revived. I remember a time in my life I went cold on God. He hadn't gone cold on me. I'd grown cold on him. My faithfulness was in and out. I hoped that nobody knew, but I'm sure they did notice. My prayer life wasn't what it once was. I began to doubt God, question God. Man, he should have killed me. But he said one day, rise up, stand forth, stretch forth thine hand. And when I did, he restored it as good as new. I want to say thanks be unto God that he can give pity to the pitiless. Amen. And take away the pains. Amen. And take away the numbness. And take away the fact that once we had no friends, now we have Jesus. You stand to your feet. I want y'all to sing this morning, Special Love. God laid on my heart, Special Love. I want y'all to come. There's somebody here this morning. You may be here every single service, but you know when I said the word numb, that's where you are. It's not reaching you, and you want it so desperately. You may say, Preacher Darren, I want to be used for God. I want to go back to a place of service to the Lord. And I'm so tired. I've come in here so many times. My hand's withered. And I hope not anybody would know. I've been a little hurt. I've been a little down. I hope nobody would notice. I've tried to continue serving as best I can. But Jesus, and you know it, honey. And Jesus, and you know it, sir. And today he spotted you and says, rise up. Come on. Mind him today. Oh, Preacher Darren, I long for this moment. Would you come? Would you come? Oh, he speaks to your heart today. Preacher, I'm so hungry.
I really hate to bother.
I need help so bad.
But Lord,
oh, yes.
I've got a whole lot
keep coming.
On my mind.
Amen.
I know that you're real busy, but I promise I won't take much of your time. Ooh, but Lord, I need a little grace to help me make it through. I need feel that kind of love that only comes from you. If you'll just squeeze my hand, let me feel you by my side. said you'd never, never leave me. Lord, you'd always be my guide. But the storms of life sometimes won't let the sun shine through. I need to feel that kind of love that only comes from you. Yes, I need to feel that kind of love that only comes from you.
As a child, I heard the preacher say that you were a sinner's friend. I remember when I came to you with a heart so black with sin. Oh, it seemed you made me over new. The mercy that you showed me, Lord, kept me coming back to you. If you'll just squeeze my hand, let me feel my son. You said you'd never, never